Hour four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Expressway's 20 minutes away. LA Live's coming up at 5:40 with Lucius Alexander. Time now to get you up to date on everything happening important in the world of football. An edition of the finest with your chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. We learned today the Cowboys are talking as if they are trying to prioritize. The number one priority for them is to try and retain Osa Odighizuwa in free agency. And I do think this is a guy that's going to command some serious dollars. Like the interior defensive line market has skyrocketed. And you can see like these good teams are investing in it.
It's a rare position to find talent at. What did he have last year? 65 pressure, something like that. Guy's producing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's been solid. This was his best year for sure. Osa's. But we've all seen the type of player he is. I don't think anybody that has watched him, even this year, would consider him as like a difference-making sort of player.
No.
And I do wonder how much benefit he gets, like from a pressure standpoint. Like Micah's commanding a lot.
Yes.
So everybody else should be benefiting from playing alongside Micah.
He's been inconsistent for 3 years, though. Has never left his impression on a game where you're like, wow, he destroyed it today.
Right.
You know, it's just been, that helped. That's better than replacement level. You know, but somewhere between average and good is where I put Osa.
Yes.
Not between good and great.
And he's going to end up getting better than good money. Closer to great money, I would think, on the open market. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, man, if you are willing to, and I'm not even convinced that they are actually willing to reach the level of dollars it's going to take to retain him. But if they are willing to play in that field of top tier interior defensive line money in free agency, this would be the perfect opportunity to turn away from one of your own guys. And we all say is a good player, not a great player. And turn your attention somewhere else at the same position, a guy who's probably going to command similar dollars, and that is Milton Williams from right here in the division with the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you watched the NFC Championship game the other day, you definitely are familiar with his game. And he's a guy, he definitely just had his best year. But he was a good player last year as well. He was picked in the third round, same draft as Osa. And now they're both going to be free agents. And Milton Williams is he's a three technique player, and he is, I mean, second in pressure rate and among defensive tackles, sixth in positive rush rate among all qualifying defensive tackles. He was a menace in the biggest game of the year to date for the Eagles. And this is a guy that Howie Roseman has identified, a guy who actually knows how to take defensive linemen. He's got a track record of it. This is a guy that Howie Roseman. Now, I don't think the Eagles can pay this dude because they've paid a ton of guys. They still have Jalen Carter. They drafted Jordan Davis. This is the benefit you have of being able to let a Milton Williams walk away and not let it crumble you because you've made solid investments in this area before. So I don't see the Eagles being able to retain him, but this is the guy that if you're going to spend big dollars on a young second contract interior defensive lineman, three technique, I think it's a very important position in general, especially in the Eberflus defense. But I think this is the guy that would actually meet the standard of the dollars that you are going to be paying him.
And that neighborhood is around $20 million a year, you think, for Williams as well as Osa?
I do. I do think it'll be about 20
million. Yeah, they're going to be fighting each other for who's the better one on the market. They're very comparable. I think more highly of Osa than you do. But Milton Williams, Crowley, Texas.
Yeah, local kid.
We actually got to hang out with him one time. Good dude. And it does seem like he's playing his best in the postseason. Now, I do think when you get to play with Jalen Carter, you know, much like you're talking about Micah Parsons, that's going to help you in the middle. Like, Jalen Carter has just raised his level of play, and now he's like looking like, oh my gosh, this dude's the next Aaron Donald type guy. Mm. Statistically, Osa and Milton Williams, very comparable, but four pressures in the NFC Championship game, that's very, very impressive. So, hey, like, you've seen kind of where this defense can be with Osa. Can Milton Williams be better? I'm okay with something new instead of just continuing going back to the same well of guys that we just know. And you could tag Osa from the 682 if you really wanted to, but I'd be definitely interested in Milton Williams if you're going to pay the money to Osa. If that doesn't work out, pivot and steal from the division.
Yeah, and now this is obviously not very likely when you consider the last time the Cowboys signed an external free agent with a salary of at least $10 million per year. That, of course, was...
Brandon Carr.
Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy?
Decade ago.
My God.
Yeah, that's just for $10 million per year. So this is not something the Cowboys...
Even gave Greg Hardy that much. That's insane.
...usually would want to do. But if you are going to play in the big money interior D-line waters, this would be the perfect moment to say, you know what, we're not just going to do the thing that we always do, paying our own guys great money, even though they're only good. Milton Williams, I think, is he's just progressed and gotten better and better. Last year he was really good. This year he was outstanding, and he's a better run defender. So to me, this is a guy who, and they move him up and down the line of scrimmage a little bit.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, you can get out there on the edge.
And how much of a benefit is that based on the team that you're playing? Like, you can
versatility.
You can attack. You can attack the weak link on an offensive line. Yeah. When you see the Chiefs do it with Chris Jones. Chris Jones is a monster, and you'll see him play on the edge because it's all about creating the best matchup possible for you. And when you have a guy like that, like, I think that's something that you should be all over. So I don't think they're going to be wanting to reach $20 million for Osa or this guy. But if they're committed to it, man, Milton Williams is the better player.
I'd go shopping over there in that Philadelphia defense. I'm looking at Zach Bond as well, who's a free agent on the edge, if you know, depending on.
Well, you need some linebackers.
Yeah, you do. Linebackers definitely where they need to throw some money.
And you're not going to get him in the draft, I don't think.
No, you can get a defensive tackle. Like, if I had to choose, do you throw money at Milton Williams or a top linebacker in free agency? The linebacker's probably the route to go because you can draft a solid defensive tackle. It's filled with them, but not linebacker at all. It's very, very weak.
Yeah, and I think for the Eagles, like the Eagles, if you're thinking about like who they are more likely to bring back,
Bond.
Probably Bond, yeah. Because they don't have a bunch of linebackers that they've invested in other than N'Kobe Dean, who just got injured and who knows what his status is going into next season. So I think they're probably going to feel better about the investments they've made on their defensive line to feel like, okay, Milton Williams, we can let you walk out of here. Zach Bond, we don't have anybody to replace you. So that would be my guess, but I mean, talk about something that helps your linebackers out. An interior defensive lineman that knows what he's doing. So that would be my recommendation for the Cowboys if you are going to throw some serious dollars at the position. Now, elsewhere, as it pertains to a couple of housekeeping things in the NFL, the Texans are going to be replacing Bobby Slowick as their offensive coordinator with Commanders assistant head coach and pass game coordinator Brian Johnson. The guy who was the play caller in Philadelphia last year,
right.
One and done, goes to the Dan Quinn staff and now levels up to being the offensive coordinator for the Texans. So hopefully in that, I mean, the Commanders offense completely surprised most of us this year, like from a schematic standpoint. Jaden Daniels is otherworldly for sure, but Kingsbury and I believe Anthony Lynn is a part of their run game stuff. They were doing a lot of good stuff to help play to the strengths of Jaden Daniels. So if Brian Johnson was able to take a little bit of that and sprinkle it on some C.J. Stroud action, I'm sure the Texans will be very, very pleased with it. The Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl will be the fifth head coach rematch in Super Bowl history. Andy Reid facing Nick Sirianni. The winner of the first meeting has won every previous matchup, including Andy Reid over Kyle Shanahan last year.
Season. Yes.
So when two coaches have met in a Super Bowl before and then they meet again for the second time, it ends up being the same result. The winning head coach ends up doubling down.
Jimmy over Marv Levy.
On his own dominance. Jimmy over Marv. Yeah.
Coughlin Belichick.
Yep.
Yeah, Coughlin Belichick. Yes, good pull. I'm going to have to leave it up to Broadus for the rest of them, probably.
It would be Landry losing to Chuck Knoll.
Yeah. I was going through guys that have won.
Yeah.
Let me go through these. My mind.
I think we just crushed them.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? The biggest percentage of ticket sales for the Super Bowl are coming from Pennsylvania over Missouri by a wide margin. Almost 21% of all purchases made since the Super Bowl matchup was set have come from Pennsylvania. So 21% to 6% coming from Missouri.
Yeah, I think their fans are hungrier. I think that,
yeah, Eagles fans.
Yeah, that's what that comes down to. I think maybe your credit card's been tapped out. Philly had a year to recover.
Yeah. Yeah, they totally did. They're dying to get in the mix on another Lombardi.
Gosh, I hate to hear that.
You know, one of the things that I found interesting from Hayden Winks on Twitter was the conversation surrounding Pat Mahomes and getting all the calls that he gets and getting the roughing the passer calls. Well, Patrick Mahomes takes the most QB hits where he's not sacked. It happens on over 12% of his dropbacks. So nobody is releasing the ball right before getting smoked like he does.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. He plays a little bit differently than most guys. He's willing to hang in there and not get sacked, but take the hit and make the throw.
Yeah.
On 12% of his dropbacks, he's doing that. So that obviously is...
That's a big part of it.
That's, you know, a big part of it.
The Joe Burrow factor of just being tough enough to stand in there. But I also feel like his contact balance and awareness is such that he can get right up on guys and be totally comfortable, right? I'm going to bounce off you. I'm going to move over here. We're a lot of guys, and I don't want to, you know, bring Quinn Ewers back into it. We're all familiar with that. But I think Josh Allen's guilty of it at times, too, like running into trouble where it seems like Mahomes just has complete awareness of his surroundings.
Yes, there's actually an extremely interesting article about the dominant athletes with a dad bod in The Athletic.
This is a great Athletic article.
And they talk about Luka in it. They talk about Jokic in it. And they talk about Mahomes. And if I don't get to it today, I will definitely tomorrow. And they talk about some of the things where it's like, yeah, the eye tells you this guy doesn't look athletic, but these other different ways of measuring it, actually, this guy's a super beast.
I thought
about
Mahomes
has some of that spatial awareness stuff.
You too. Thought about you too. The eye for the athleticism. You guys are flawed in your view here. You don't have to have six packs and the eight pack here and still be athletic.
Right. How about this
one?
For
the pushing, baby.
One of the turning points in last year's Super Bowl was the injury to Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah. Coming off the bench.
Big time, yeah.
Travis Kelce was held to 1 yard in the first half. Greenlaw's replacement ended up being a guy named Oren Burks in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the guy that will be playing for N'Kobe Dean for the Eagles this week.
Kansas City.
The same backup linebacker that got smoked in the second half. He gave up six receptions on six targets, 50 yards and a touchdown. And Kelce had 92 yards in the second half of that game. So that same guy, that same linebacker that the Chiefs torched in the second half of the Super Bowl last year is the same guy who is now the starter in place of N'Kobe Dean at linebacker for the Eagles. Just something to consider.
That sounds like a ride off into the sunset type of game for Kelce.
I agree with
you.
I wonder if Dick Fangio dials up Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Might try his luck there if he starts getting toasted.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you might have to go to it, but to ask that of a rookie who doesn't even get that much playing time, as far as I know.
Tough, but like, hey, you got to make some adjustments. Like, if this guy's just going to get killed, I got to at least try. And that guy might also get killed, but I just got to throw as many options as I can to try and stop him. Because if Travis gets going, good luck.
It's time to get, though, right? He's getting fully domesticated. He's ready to go be a husband. He grew out the hair, you know.
There's literally a prop bet on whether or not The Travis Kelce is going to propose to Taylor Swift at some point during the post-game proceedings. That's like an actual prop bet that you can bet on.
I'd take those odds. Feels like they're going to win, and that'd be the perfect moment to do it.
It would be, yes, but it certainly hinges on that. There's no way you're proposing after losing.
Would that be a make it about him moment? Everybody say now he's making it about him?
It would be.
I mean, she's been in so many of the games, though, she might be into it. You know, I don't think she's like your normal diva type of pop star.
If you say so.
I think it's real love, Chief.
Oh, I think it's real love, too. But she might prefer private.
It's possible. You got to know. You know, some gals,
Some
gals like the stadium proposal. Some gals like the sports proposal. It's part of their identity is how great you are.
There's some Swifties out there that think they're already engaged.
Hey, we got some serious bulletin board material, though, if you're Andy Reid, because the screen grab from the matchup predictor ESPN Analytics is giving the Eagles a 56.2% chance to win.
Perfect.
I see that.
I'm printing that out, and that's going on every locker.
Yeah.
If I'm Andy.
Get the cut of Mark Schlereth talking with us Tuesday, where he's like, the Eagles are better in every single position group besides quarterback. You know, I could see where the metrics, where the computers might favor the Eagles, you know, because you look at the analytics of it, especially without the regular season dominance of Kansas City. I just think that's another example, once again, where the stats aren't going to get you home talking football. You know that, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Better than anybody.
An addition to the finest is in the books. When we return, it's time to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top, update you on everything in the world of sports, and we're back in the nation.
All right, we're going commercial-free thanks to the on-time experts. We'll get you to LA Live as quickly as possible. Then Hollywood David Hellman talking Cowboys and all things Hollywood football at the top of the hour. But right now, we throw things to the Woolly Bully for some damn good content.
I did want to just thank you and just let you know how impressed I was. You did a little mock draft for funsies just a little while ago, and you took two running backs, not one. But two running
doubled
backs
up on
here.
It.
You doubled down on running backs.
We don't have to talk about running backs anymore.
What round did you do this in?
Second at 44. He took Caleb Johnson out of Iowa.
Okay.
Son of a gun.
And then you went with Cam Scadabo.
I traded down twice. I picked up two second round picks for next year, two third round picks for next year. Mm-hmm. I got, who did I get? Who was
you
the
got
Iowa
Caleb
guy?
Johnson.
Caleb Johnson. We got your
you got Alfred Collins.
Yeah, Alfred Collins,
tackle out of Texas. Tackle,
yeah. Defensive tackle.
Which I like.
There we go.
And then you got the Miami tight end.
Got the Miami tight end, Arroyo.
Uh-huh.
Got Savion Williams.
Yes.
And Jake Besh.
Besh. Now, he got him in the seventh round.
Jack Besh.
Jack Besh isn't going to be there in the seventh round. But regardless,
yeah,
he wasn't
Besh in the seventh round?
He wasn't this.
Not in the seventh. It was like the third or whatever. Oh. And I got Scadabo as well.
You know,
I just think he's a winner. He's a football guy. As soon as I saw like the psycho eyes, the jawline, like yeah. That's a guy that's helping me on offense like and special teams.
I kind of feel like, though, that you know, when you drafted Johnson, that you got a workhorse back.
I do, too.
And you don't need to pair him with somebody else. That's the only thing. I mean, I like
it. Just in case. I mean, maybe Scadabo could play some fullback for you.
Oh, I mean, I'd hand him the ball. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I just think having different options there.
Injuries. You never know what can happen.
You know how running backs are. I felt good about it, though.
Very ornery.
We revamped the wide receiver room and the running back room right there. We stocked up on picks for next year. We got the must-have defensive tackle handled and got a little sexier at the tight end spot.
I liked it. I liked what you did, and I appreciate the fact that you doubled up on the running back. I've got some stats of the day, but quickly, just to recap on what happened with the Cowboys earlier, Linda Wells has agreed to a new deal with the team to return in 2025 on Shadi's coaching staff.
So does that mean he's for sure tight ends coach, or because they just leave it open like on Shadi's coaching staff? It doesn't really specify he's back as tight ends.
Well, I think what's happening here is, you know, they're – I said tap the brakes on Adams. I think that
the Cardinals' O-line guy, maybe the offensive coordinator.
Still kind of keep that in mind, but I would say they're keeping it open because if they don't get somebody like Adams, I want to say that maybe that he's going to be the tight ends coach, not Adams, but
or Linda Wells.
Linda
Could
Wells
he also be the offensive line coach.
Well, exactly. If you get Adams, he's going to be the tight ends coach. If you don't get Adams, he very well could be the offensive line coach. That's why I think they're keeping it open.
Well, the other thing was Ken Dorsey is the Cowboys are considering him for their offensive coordinator position, according to sources. Jeremy Fowler interview will be determined. Logistics are being discussed. Ken Dorsey has been with the Bills and the Browns and has been let go each of the last two seasons by both teams. So that's kind of where you're at with the Cowboys coaching stuff. Couple of nuggets for you. David Shaw has agreed to a multi-year deal, making him the team's new passing game coordinator in Detroit. It's another name, like OC.
Yeah.
Bring in David Shaw. That's a guy that has success running the football.
Back in the day, David Shaw would have been the guy I would have hired for the head coach if I was running an NFL team.
Really, Dave really Shaw. Good coach.
Yeah,
really good mind. Mm-hmm. And he's got an eye for talent. And then how about these Mavs nuggets for you? Klay Thompson is leading the entire NBA in three-pointers made this season for players under 27.5 minutes per game.
Mm-hmm.
That's outstanding.
That's his sweet spot, right?
Need more of that.
Just keep him right around that 25-minute mark.
Yeah,
I love
don't
that
go over
Klay.
25 minutes with him.
And right now he is. He's being probably stressed.
He's having
to play more minutes. They probably want him to.
If this team was whole, I think we'd think differently about Klay Thompson.
Agreed. Totally.
I'm not looking to move Klay. I've always felt like his impact is going to be felt in the postseason.
There'll be a sentimental
That's our hope.
Your sentimental B over there.
No, why? How so?
Just don't. I don't want to move Clay.
I don't want to move. Well, once I think it looks bad on the Mavericks. I think that's going to hurt your reputation.
Yeah, I don't want the Mavs to look bad.
Around the league. Yeah. You know, you just finally got a free agent. Now you're going to. I don't think that they're looking to shop him. Yeah. I think Nico knows why he brought him in here, and it is for the postseason. But I can understand, you know, when he's off, it is frustrating. And the defense, just as the aging player that he is, Mavs undefeated when P.J. Washington puts up 20 points and 12 or more rebounds.
It's 5-0
5-0 this year.
5-0
20 and 12. We're looking for that. That's the sweet spot there. And then, my gosh, are you going to get to some of this Arch Manning stuff in the hodgepodge?
Oh, dude. Yeah, I mean, you can hit it now.
No, his deal you can tell us about, but his NIL valuation right now is at $6.6 million. That's more money this year than what Bijan's making at $5.5 million. Drake London's making at $5.4 million. Garrett Wilson, Bo Nix, Jahmyr Gibbs, Breece Hall, Puka Nacua, Brock Purdy. Brock will end up making more money because he's going to sign a new contract. But $6.6 million at Texas for Arch, dude, is cashing in big right now, and deservedly so.
Yeah, yeah, he is. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world for him.
He's a great kid, too. Just meeting him. You know, he and Ben are in the same club.
Tell me about his handshake, though, bro. It's hand size-wise.
No, very confident. Very confident.
Looky in the eyes.
Big hand. Yeah. It was a pleasure to meet him. And just a really nice, polite kid. Oh, yes, sir. No, sir. Really enjoy hanging out with Bennett. He's a good friend, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you know, good luck, that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, he's looking down at me. I mean, he's like,
that doesn't happen a lot.
I mean, okay, he's every bit of 6'4".
Yeah, yeah. I'm usually like, you know, looking down at people. He was looking down at me and, good
but not in a disrespectful way.
Not at all. But yeah, he's just a quality guy. I mean, Bennett loves hanging out with him.
Yeah, next time they have a little playdate situation and you're involved, why don't you bring me and the bully along? You know, I'd like to shake that hand.
I think I'm going to take my mom to LSU plays baseball at Texas in March on a Saturday. I'm going to take her down to Austin.
Well, we're a couple seam heads.
Sounds like you just invited us.
Yeah, perfect.
You want to ride along with Mama brought us and... She'll make sandwiches and stuff.
Oh, we're in.
She'll make you stop at Bucky's.
But Shug?
I got shotgun, I'm in.
We're in.
Oh, Shug in the back. Shug, no, she's not going to do that. Not at all.
Look, I've always been a GILF guy. I can ride in the back.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah, the Bucky stop. That sounds good, man. That's awesome. That's awesome.
He's checking off all the boxes. Yeah, he's a quality dude.
I like the way he fans as well. Do you see him getting hyped up at these basketball games?
Oh, yeah.
He's invested, dude. Yeah, he's here to support people. He's not bigger than the campus, bigger than the university. Yeah. He's out there sitting in the student section cheering on his guys or girls. Yeah. I think he's a fan of the women's game as well.
He's a big volleyball guy.
Yeah.
Big fan of the Texas volleyball team.
I bet he would dominate in volleyball. If you're talking about being hand-sized that way, about the height factor.
And he's athletic. I bet he can jump.
Yeah, dude. Guy's got wheels. Explosive.
I saw they asked him to build the top, like a quarterback with all the intangibles.
He used his uncle as one of those.
He put both of them in there. Like clutch factor, he put Eli.
I mean, if you look at Super Bowl.
I mean, it's hard to. Close your eyes and roll it up, baby.
And I'm not an Eli Manning fan at all. But if you want to say Super Bowl clutch.
It is pretty crazy. He has made some clutch plays in big playoff moments.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here for it, dude. I'm here for the Arch stuff. And the hand size thing I think is important because I see old Milrow right now. Milrow and Jackson Dart getting hammered for the tiny hand stuff.
Yeah.
Who was Jared Goff a tiny hand guy?
Jared Goff. Yeah. And it was so funny because we were at the combine and Jeff Kavanaugh was standing up there and Goff was going off and Kavanaugh was like, "Yeah, you tell him, Jared. You tell him." Yeah, he was like encouraging the guy in the
podium. I got small hands, no big deal.
Yeah, he's like, and Jeff was like helping him with some of his stats, reading off games and stuff like that. It was embarrassing, awesome. But it was funny.
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing funny is what it was. You tell him, Jared. Tell him about that hand size. Jeff was encouraging him on the podium.
Kick his ass, Jared.
That's good stuff right there. Is this more embarrassing or funny, Cam Newton claiming that he wouldn't trade his MVP for a Super Bowl championship, wouldn't even consider it?
I think that pretty much tells you all you need to know about Cam Newton.
He's like, yeah, if I win the MVP, like me winning the MVP shows how well I did my job.
Mm.
And winning a Super Bowl doesn't necessarily say that I was any good.
Because he lost the Super Bowl, as Lucius likes to tell us, for making a business decision.
And he did.
I'll never forget it. I mean, it wasn't even like he stopped. I mean, you can watch the play right now. DeMarcus Lawrence is going for the ball, and he's going for the ball. And then he literally stops and moves himself backwards. He starts moving away from the ball. It is.
Post game, didn't he have like, he had a really bad post game, I think, too.
The post game was tough. He was emotional.
It was tough. Yeah, it was tough.
Imagine what his post game would have been that year had he not won the MVP. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to the podium after not winning the MVP. He would have been even more upset. He would have been Denny Green talking about, we let him off the hook. But he was just talking about me. I let him off the hook. This is my award.
Yeah.
But that's just, that's an individual at, like, he should have played. He should have played like, I don't know, tennis or something. He should have been a golfer. That's totally fine. Individual sport. Yeah. Absolutely. I get it, dude. But
you can't be a me, myself, and I guy at quarterback in the NFL.
No, I don't even think you can do it in the XFL. I don't think you can do it in the Canadian League. I mean, Broadus, you were at NFL Europe. Those are team-oriented quarterbacks.
Yeah,
there.
You got to be. Yeah, that was important.
I did my job, Cam Newton, punting on the. I do respect the honesty, though. Like, yes. His willingness to sit up there with those glasses and that hat on and say the things he says.
Stephen A.'s face was also shocking. He was just like, what did you really just say that? Well, hey, good for you, Cam. He is honest.
Yes, he's incredibly honest.
He's also wanting the Tank for Arch thing already.
He's what?
Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah.
He put out like Tank for Arch this year.
And he wants to go them to go get Nick Saban as their coach. So he thinks this Schottenheimer's one and done.
Hmm. Well, he doesn't know Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry's not paying
Jerry's
a coach
not
to not
one
be
and
here.
Done. Yeah, no coach should be one and done here.
Jerry probably hired him as his head coach thinking that he could still remove the head coach duties from him this time next year, but just keep him on staff as like a coordinator so he doesn't actually have to pay him to not do anything. I don't know. I think that's more likely. But tanking for Arch, that's pretty hilarious. Did you guys see all the details on the Bill Belichick contract, by the way?
Yeah.
We talked about a couple of them.
I love it when they get use of the jet.
Yes.
That's my favorite thing.
Gosh. Private aircraft used for 25 hours a year. So is that just airtime?
Yeah. So for he wants to take the plane from Chapel Hill to Boston.
It's Chapel Bill.
Chapel Hill.
Yeah, get it right. Okay. Chapel Bill.
For every hour he's in the air, that's what it counts.
Okay. So it's not about how long that thing is grounded somewhere.
Like 25 hours. So yeah. And then he could probably pay for any time extra he uses.
They're going to be, he has a vehicle allowance, Bill Belichick does, with UNC.
Or he can get, he gets $7,500 vehicle allowance, or he gets the use of a company car.
What would be a vehicle allowance? Is this like...
So they give you money and you could buy your own car.
Okay.
So they give you money and you could, every month, you can make the payment. Or they probably have a sponsor, a Ford sponsor, a Chevy sponsor, something. Like Nick Saban, Mercedes-Benz sponsored Alabama. Nick Saban drove a Mercedes-Benz. Right. So you get the use of a car. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. And that's $7,500 for the year, right?
For the year,
That's not for the month.
Yeah, but that would
be insane.
You're paying for a car, yeah.
And then he gets the annual expense allowance of $100,000.
Okay.
So that's just free $100,000 to do whatever you want with.
That could be used for, do they have any housing allowance on that thing? Did they say anything about a housing allowance?
No, but it does say expenses for relocating. Okay. So they gave him $100,000 for the movers.
Yeah, so he got $100,000 to move all his stuff from up from Massachusetts down south. So he got that taken care of. And then you said that $100 extra, that's probably for housing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he could put that as a down payment on a house or something like that. Yeah, if he wants to.
Totally. Or he could do it to just bless the Cash App of his girlfriend.
Oh, right.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I still think like she's got to be really buttoned up with the way she handles herself moving forward.
They're committed.
The competition level just skyrocketed.
I see true love when they look at each other.
You do?
I think so. I see some glistening in the eyes.
Okay, so we were talking.
What am I doing?
Maybe from his standpoint. Yeah. No, from hers.
We were talking.
Yeah, really.
We were talking about the Cowboys investing in the defensive tackle position.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the big takeaways from these final four teams that we just saw in the conference championship games.
Last year was the centers, so this year it's the D tackles.
This year I think it's just, I mean, and really just D line in general.
Yeah.
Like you have got to put together especially with Eberflus, who's not trying to generate pass rush from he's not trying to manufacture pressures and whatnot with blitzes for the most part. So you're going to be depending a lot on Micah, of course. You're going to need somebody opposite him. But, like, just look at the way the Eagles invest in their defensive line. Like, they are peppering it in the first three rounds year in, year out. Mm-hmm. So when you get to the point where Milton Williams is a free agent, you don't feel like, oh, my gosh, we absolutely have to have this guy back and give him market-setting money because, oh, yeah, we've invested at this position and we're actually pretty good at it. They drafted Milton Williams in the third round in 2021, and then in 2022, they draft Jordan Davis in the first round. And then they draft Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith in the first round the next year. So
this has always been the Howie Roseman special, just pumping in the offensive and defensive lines. They missed on an Andre Dillard on the offensive line, didn't cost them.
Yep.
Because sure they did. Just keep peppering at that.
Well, yeah. Because they were able to find that rugby player.
In the seventh round.
Yeah.
That makes up for it.
Yep.
But... even, of course, the Chiefs investing with Karlaftis and Chris Jones on the defensive line. Those are stud players for them right now.
And King Felix as well, Kansas State, they took in the first round a few years ago. I was a big fan of his.
There you go. Is that his real name?
I called him King Felix. His first name is Felix. He's got a hyphenated last name that I just don't want to say because I'll probably mess it up.
And the other thing that I found interesting looking at this Eagles offense, you know how we always talk about wanting to stop the run and you put extra men in the box, you have a single safety, and you bring the other guy down so you mm-hmm. can have eight dudes in the box or whatever? Mm-hmm. Well, that is actually not what you want to do when you're facing the Eagles. Because you think, like, we got to stop the run, we can't go too high, no, we got to bring a guy down.
No.
But when you do that versus the Eagles, you leave yourself open to hugely explosive plays.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Now you don't have a safety blanket.
You don't have anybody there. Yeah.
Once they get through the first, second wave, boom, it's game over.
And so, like, when you look at the expected points added for these runs, like for the Eagles, it's so much more when they're running into a heavy box and it's one high safety, because that's where he's getting all of his explosives. He's getting a 50-yard run because you put too many dudes in the box there. Mm-hmm. So I just find that super interesting because that's when you have an offensive line like that and then an explosive runner that way, and now you have to pick your poison because you go too high safety and they're still going to be able to get, you know, they're going to nickel and dime you down the field a little bit, mm-hmm. but you'd prefer that. These explosive runs, that's why the Eagles offense is able to barely have to pass the ball. Because they know
helps
these guys, like these defenses are putting too many men in the box, and all it takes is one or two moments where Barkley gets free, and now you're talking about a 50-plus yard touchdown, and it's happening in multiple times in one single game. So I don't know. That's not something that I was like. I don't know another offense that you've been like, man, the rushing attack's so good, but we can't put too many guys in the box because this is just going to be a home run hitter.
So if Barkley hits another 60 plus yard touchdown in the Super Bowl, he will make history for the most amount of 60 plus yard touchdowns of any kind in a season. He's currently tied with Devin Hester with all his returns in 2007, which speaks for itself. I mean, holy crap, we're talking about kicking punt returns here. And he did open the Super Bowl with a 92 yarder for the house. But Barkley, as a running back, if he gets a 60-plus yarder, he has now broken a record.
Hollywood David Hellman talking Cowboys at the top of the hour, but right now we go into the Pimp Cup with Lucius Alexander for a Thirsty Thursday LA Live.
We're good.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, you squares.
It's time to talk.
Yeah, I've hit this button like maybe three or four times.
I
was just trying to back door you with it. Bam! You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just wasn't going. Here we go.
I consented to that.
All right, you squares.
It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk.
Oh, yeah. Ladies.
It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Everybody get high.
Joke for the ladies.
This woman said to her husband, she said, darling, I had a dream about my birthday, and in the dream I dreamt about earrings, a bracelet, and a necklace. What do you think that means? And he said, just wait till your birthday. And then on her birthday, he gave her a package. She opened it, and it was a book, How to Interpret Dreams.
Yeah.
We don't get it sometimes.
We just don't get it sometimes, ladies. But we're here for you. This is LA Live for Thursday, January 30th. Gosh.
Still January. This is a long ass month.
It feels like it's probably the longest month of the year.
We need like 3 paydays in this month.
Yeah. Get one tomorrow.
I done ran out of chips.
Yeah, goodness.
Yeah, it's January 30th, 2025. It is a Thirsty Thursday here in LA Live, Ladies Night Edition. Shout out to the Lady Tolos. It's always for the ladies. Ow. Not gonna lie, I love being around the female energy more than I like hanging around with a bunch of dudes.
No question.
Yeah. Dudes get weird on you. They start hating.
Yep.
They get jealous of you for some reason. They change when there's different people in the environment. And you got to watch those dudes, man. Shout out to the ladies, though. And if you ever want to know who's the weasel in your group,
yeah,
ask your girl. Ask your girl. Your girl be knowing. Or at least she thinks she knows. Your girl be knowing.
They got a sixth sense.
They got a sixth sense. Oh, I don't like him.
They got the radar.
Yeah. Hey, I seen a stat the other day. Tell me if you think this is correct, or maybe it's just a bunch of cap from the internet. 80% of women wouldn't date themselves if they were men.
That doesn't seem true.
They have way too much self-awareness to...
Right?
Actually acknowledge that.
I don't know, man.
I think the number might be a little high.
You think the number might be a little high?
A little high.
Yeah, 80% of women wouldn't date themselves if they were men. I seen this on the Twitter.
The View.
Pretty sure it's toxic as hell right there. Should have used that for a Tuesday. All right, hold on, Rick. Let me pull you down here, brother. I love you and everything, but this is a ladies' night, brother. How about some Isley Brothers?
Ooh.
Yeah. There we go. Did you guys see that North Texas man went viral for putting up a decorated sign in his front yard?
I did. Okay, I did not see this.
Yeah, he was straight up advertising, in my opinion. Oh. It looked like, you know, the signs that went popular during the pandemic.
Oh.
Like, say, when somebody was graduating, they'll decorate your whole front yard type vibes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Looks like a big-ass mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he did the same thing.
This guy was bragging.
No.
He was bragging, put it in his front yard. I'm pretty sure all the dudes in the neighborhood on high alert right now.
Yeah.
But he was also, I think, was this more to prop himself up or to tear down the reputation of his lady?
Because definitely tear down the reputation, because it is said, what do you say right here? Divorced, cheating wife gone. And then had another sign next to it. Looked like straight out of Compton. It said straight out of marriage.
Oh no.
Wow, he really thought this one through.
Yeah, nah, he wanted to see her gone.
Yep.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah, I know he caught her cheating, and she tried to fool him a few times.
Yeah.
I wonder what was a solid stone? What was a solid rock that he had to finally sit on and say, hey, no, you're actually cheating on me.
This is real.
Because they're so good at telling you. Yeah. They'll have you meeting the guy that she's cheating with. Hey, man, how you doing? She talks about you all the time. You're great. Oh,
my gosh.
Shaking hands and everything.
Boy, she loves you.
Man, yeah, she talks about you every day, man.
Hands with
her. Yeah. I like all the songs and everything you're introducing her to.
She's going on that work trip next week.
Yeah, take care of her for me, bud. Good Lord. I seen another stat too right here. Couples who engage in unhealthy habits together, such as smoking or consuming junk food, tend to form a closer bond compared to those who follow a healthier lifestyle. Misery loves company, possibly.
Yeah,
for sure. It's fun to if you're gonna go all out on like a cheat meal situation, whatever. It's way more fun to be like, hey, honey, like, I'm bringing home the pizza. I got the ice cream. We're doing this. We're in this together.
Let's really lean into it.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to have fun.
Yeah. You don't want to drink alone sometimes either. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, that's not fun.
It's not fun if one person does Molly. You both have to do the Molly.
Sometimes you need a babysitter.
That's how it works.
So don't let me jump off a ledge or something.
It's a little wild stuff that you see on the internet, man. How about this one? LA Live 105.3 The Fan. If you're looking for love out here, I know this is cuffing season, but cuffing season is almost over with, and some of us haven't found anybody to cuff with. Mm. Well, you might want to get you a prison bae.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, they're not going anywhere.
Are we still, they're still putting out the audio stuff?
They are 100% still putting this stuff out here, brothers. Not sure if you've seen the numbers lately, but there's plenty of people locked up in prison.
Yep.
They're looking for somebody.
Yep.
Let's go to Prison Connect on Instagram. Prison Connect's motto is helping inmates connect with the free world. Shout out to the free world.
Yeah.
Let's get this girl right here, Ashley. Let's see what Ashley's talking about. See if we're interested in hooking up with Ashley.
I'm 33 years old. I am looking for friends. lovers, new people, sugar daddies, possibly. I have about 7 months left, and looking to relocate. And hit me up on jpe.com, 96336.
Hey.
He's got 7 more months.
Sounds
seven hot. More months. Looking for a little sugar daddy, man. Yeah. Help me get some honey buns while I'm in here. Pack of smokes. And I'm looking to relocate as well. Yeah. I'm trying to get the hell up out of here.
Yeah. Way out of here.
I have to, actually. My parole officer said leave.
Ashley's pretty cute, man. I was going through this site, and there's some pretty cute people up in jail.
Do we know what she was in for?
Probably B&E. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can't give her a key to the house or anything.
No.
Call me before you show up here, okay?
Yeah.
So I can put some of that stuff up. Let's see what Janelle's talking about here.
Hey, what's up? My name's Janelle Martinez. My number is 114-568. I'm located in Idaho.
Oh.
I'm looking for friends, good company, someone to talk with, emotional and financial support.
Oh.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Hit me up on JPay.
Hit me up on JPay.
Here for a good time, not a long time.
Not a long time.
So is she not long time incarcerated, or is she long time like I'm going to hang out with you for a month and then I'll be gone?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out.
Get to hit and quit it there.
Yeah, I think so. I think she's
in it for the money and go.
She's usury right there.
I think she's a usury. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Janelle, sorry about that one.
Yeah.
We have an older woman, though. She has some nice silver hair. She's been keeping herself up in jail. Probably not eating all the honey buns and all the sugary snacks. Right. Like she was doing her PT, getting her workout on.
Yeah. Push-ups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pull-ups.
Yes. She looks fantastic. Let's see what she's talking about here on Prison Connect.
Hey, shout out to Prisoner Connect. Thank you so much for hooking it up. My name is Tracy Haddon. My number is 50081. I'm here at PWCC. I've been here for 17 years. I'm getting out in about 7 months. I'm just looking for a fresh start and someone to help me get there. Reach out to me on JPay. I would love to hear from you. Love to get to know you. Hope to hear from you soon.
17 years.
17 years.
Wow.
Passing the voice test, I would say.
Yeah.
She's cutie, man. She's an old lady.
Nice,
definitely
calm.
Cute. Yeah.
7 months also.
17 years.
How 17. Much? Imagine the stories she can tell you.
She can tell you some stories.
Oh, a lot of stories.
Gosh.
So many good stories.
Like you're good at dinner with her. Like, okay, well, tell me about, what's it really like in prison?
Great dinner parties. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you.
You ever get shanked?
All that built up frustration she has. She's pent up right now. 17 years, buddy.
17 years.
Whoever gets to take her out on a date, you're going to knock her socks off. I'll tell you what.
First date, I think. maybe when you ring the doorbell. Yes. Might just be
17 years.
Yeah, on the road again.
Hey, what do y'all think about this couple, Lucius? 817 says, the only thing that my girl and I cheat on is our diet, and we do it daily. We are so extremely lactose intolerant. And we have cheese on the daily, bro.
Bro.
That's a really big problem.
And they're ripping it up.
Was that you or was that me? I don't even know.
Honey, you stink this time.
That's got to be rough.
You really stink this time. Yeah, that's pretty gross, man. I don't ever want to hear my girl fart.
No.
Now, we sleep in different rooms, but I remember there was some times where she would, like, fart and sleep, you know what I mean?
So I'm
so glad we're in different rooms now, because I can respect you a little bit more.
Yeah.
You're farting as I can. Mouth all open, you got dogs next to you, and you fart. I'm like, oh, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. My God.
Oh, no.
That's some respect for your boy. Let's get back into this prison, babe. What's her name? Now, for the Tolo ladies and for the men's out there that are into men's, this is a sports station. We're always talking about men's bodies and how big they are and whatnot. There's a big old dude right here. He has face tats and everything, and he's looking for love out here, y'all.
Oh.
Don't discriminate.
I'm Michael Schaub. I'm 6'2", 230 pounds. I got about a year and a half left on my sentence. I got a couple tattoos.
I'm scared.
It's boring in here. I feel like a dork. 30 seconds seems like it takes forever. Looking for someone to get a hold of, someone to talk with, you know, see what's going on out there. Get a hold of me. Thanks.
Send that man a letter, man. Get your penmanship together when you start writing letters to people in jail.
How about the dudes feeling the obligation to give the height, weight, speed?
Yeah.
Like, here's
ran a 4-4.
Here's my build. This is my archetype. The girls aren't giving their... They're not going to put their height and weight out there.
A couple of tattoos.
They're not.
He said he's 235, right?
230?
Yeah. In prison, do you, like, gain weight?
Well, I mean, he might be working out. You know,
I mean, didn't that with Big Baby? Then, like, Big Baby wanted, he was excited about going to
Glenn going Davis, to shred out
because he thought he was going to get slimmer going to prison.
Have you seen photos of him in jail?
No, is he looking good?
I saw a group photo.
Buddy found his home.
him and his boys, man.
He's running it.
The judge is like, wait a minute. We got to resentence him because he's liking this a little too much.
He's having a good time.
He's having a great time.
Looks like he met some lifelong buddies in there.
God.
Now, yeah, people do kind of lose weight in prison because if they stick to their PT and their workouts, or if you're just stressed.
Yeah.
Stressed.
I just don't think I'd smoking all day.
The food, I don't think the food would be very good. I wouldn't eat, probably.
Absolutely not. I would not touch it. Well, yeah. I mean, at some point you're going to have to, but it looks really bad.
Yeah.
It looks really bad. Last little prison-based situation right here. This guy's name is Branson. He's looking for love. Lady Tolos, if you are struggling to find love, this man Branson is looking for you. By the way, Branson definitely is a jail name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Branson. You get him brandish the weapon, old Branson.
Get a rope. We're going to hang him up, Branson.
Branson is scary, bro. But this man knows what he's looking for.
What's up, guys? So, look, I like my girls thick like a milkshake.
Let's go.
Okay. Pretty ass feet.
Let's go.
Attitudes. All that. I'm not looking for no Cinderella. I'm looking for the Wicked Witch of the West. Mm. So if you got a attitude, pretty feet, and you're thick like a milkshake, you already got the info. Let me know what's up.
You already got the info.
That man is in his bag.
Lucius, you moonlighting
thick
on this
like
thing?
Thick like a milkshake, pretty feet. This bro was in my algorithm. How did you know, big dog? That's the vibe right there.
Bad attitude, though? Are we in on that?
I'm not here for the attitude.
No, he likes a bad girl, though.
Lucius, would you take a gal that has...
Absolutely not.
Okay, no. I'm just saying, hypothetically. She has a bad attitude, or she can clean.
Clean it all day.
Yeah, clean it all day?
Yeah, you can have a bad attitude and keep it clean with me.
Can you?
Yep. You just can't be both.
Can't be both?
Yeah. I mean, because I found that out the hard way. Hey!
Hey,
I found that out the hard way.
What's more important, though, the cooking or the cleaning? Like, in all honesty.
Clean. Yeah, we'll figure out some
food. God, I cannot stand I can't stand clutter and dirtiness and dishes in the dish. I can't.
No. You come home to a clean house every night, but if you're eating, that's on you.
Yeah.
That's okay. I can do that. I can cook all day.
Yeah, I'll figure it out, bro.
I can absolutely cook all day.
Yeah, yeah. That cup of sunflower seeds sitting there for 2 weeks now. Good God, get those things out of here. They're just shells. Get that out of here.
Clean up after yourself.
Please. Before we get out of here, I want to give you an update on the story. You fellas remembering that, what is this? An Indiana foster mother who made headlines last year for squashing her foster son to death by sitting on him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Jennifer Lee Wilson, she weighed 340 pounds.
Oh.
She sat on her 10-year-old foster son because he was acting up. She claims that she sat on his midsection, but then the doorbell camera showed that she sat on his neck and chest.
Yeah.
So she's doing 6 years in prison, so we might get a prison bait from her.
I'm slim.
God bless that boy. God bless him. Yeah. My brother used to sit on my face. Pause. God dog it.
What'd you say?
With the pillow. With the pillow, trying to suffocate you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No breathing.
Man, I gotta take that. That was awful.
Most of the time, he was fully clothed. Yeah, right? Most of the time. No diddy.
That was awful. Good God, I'm gonna clean that up in post.
Yeah, you're gonna need to cut that one out.
Man. Wow. G back in the day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all. Find G Back Nation on Twitter. Our winner is still. The cops have showed up to the resident. They were being too loud over here. He didn't know he stepped into a neighborly beef.
Yeah.
Hey, North Charleston Police.
Can I help you?
We got a call about yelling and screaming coming from the apartment.
I'm sorry.
We got a call about yelling and screaming coming from the apartment. Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
Well, come on.
Gonna come to the door and talk to us at all?
No, you should really tell my neighbors that they're lucky that I don't call the cops on them every time they yell and scream like animals.
Okay, we're done with this. Shut up and have a good night.
We're done with this. You too.
Shut up and get out of here.
Yeah, up and have a good night. That's funny to me, broski. Man, I can't believe I said that about my brother, bro.
You did, and that's out there.
I cannot believe I said that. All right, I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I'll holler.
Black and Gold Beads said you might end up on Masterpiece of the Week.
Man, that was
one.
Awful, bro.
That was good.
Used to sit on my face. Yeah. That's terrible.
With a pillow, with a pillow. Woo, thank you, Lucius. Yeah, Lucius Alexander, Everyday LA Live 540 here in the G-Bag Nation. All right, let's go out to Hollywood. David Hellman, Fox Sports, joins us next in the Nation.